Money, Riches, and Wealth is sponsored by the Financial Consulate.
Say you don't need no diamond rings, and I'll be satisfied. Tell me that you want the kind of things the money just can't buy. I don't care too much for money. Money can buy me love.
This is Talk Radio 680 WCBM. Time now for Money, Riches, and Wealth. Here's your host, Drew Tignanelli.
This is Drew Tignanelli here, Money, Riches, and Wealth, though not in Maryland. But Mikey is.
Decidedly not in Maryland.
Decidedly
very
not
intently
in Maryland.
Not in Maryland.
Very intently not in Maryland. Sold my condo in Maryland, too. Peter, just want you to let you know I don't own any residences in Maryland anymore.
Don't poke the bear.
Anyway, you know, Mike, we're here on an open show tonight, 410-922-6680, 410-922-6680. If you want to call in and ask a question. This morning I was talking to Sean about the real estate market, saying that, yeah, you know, you can argue that the real estate market's in a bubble, but, you know, you can also easily argue that it's not in a bubble. I think in some specific situations, people are paying bubble prices for things. But for the overall, this is nothing similar to 2008, 2009, where prices collapsed 40 to 50% or even more in many markets. This is a real McCoy bull market in real estate. It's going to last for a few years, though you will see a buyer's market come back in probably within the next few months, where buyers have a little bit of the upper hand on the sellers. But they're not going to be negotiating 10, 15% discounts there. You're lucky if you're going to get 2 or 3%. You're just not going to be paying 10, 20% over asking price. And you're going to be able to ask for a home inspection. You're going to be able to ask for a mortgage and an appraisal and all that kind of good stuff. And so it'll be interesting.
Yeah, another contributor on the housing front, Drew, is that new housing starts have actually slowed. And you say, what do you mean slowed? What builder wouldn't want to build more houses now with demand and prices so high? Well, the problem is supply of all the materials to build a house, the Canadian lumber, you know, all those other things. So we do have a really perfect storm for elevated pricing in real estate. But hey, don't forget to tell them what they should do next.
What is that, Mike?
Call in. It's an open show.
Oh, very good point, Mike.
I don't think we said it yet.
We're on an open show. Now, in other words, you don't want to talk to me or listen to me ramble all night. So you'd rather answer our listeners' questions, 410-922-6680, 410-922-6680. If you want to call in and ask a question, this is a great time to do it. Earlier in the show, you get the most support to your question, 410-922-6680, if you want to call in and ask a question. You know, another great topic right now, Mike, while we wait for callers to call in, is that this, you know, during these difficult times in the markets and in the economy and so forth, that's when a lot of people start looking for, maybe I should switch advisors and so forth. When times are good, everybody feels that their advisor is brilliant, you know? But when times are getting difficult, they say, you know, maybe I should start thinking about finding somebody different.
Well, and it's a good test of a financial advisor if you know, your account is down, which is going to be the case for most everyone.
99% of people who have any stocks or bonds.
If all you bought was real estate investment trusts that are, you know, non-traded, you're fine. But other than that, so this is a great time to call and say, hey, listen, I know the market's bad. I know my account's down, but can you talk to me about it? And what do they have to say? I mean, they're not going to have a poison pill or a magic globe of the future to tell you, you know, when it's going to end and when it's going to stop. If they start talking to you about being able to time the market, know that they're really doing guesswork. But they should be able to intelligently walk you through and talk you through this current market, past markets, and what we expect. And you know what? Drew, with that, we've got callers on. You want to go to our first caller?
Go ahead.
We're going to go to Bill in Odenton. Bill, you got a real estate question.
Yes. Good evening. My wife and I, we owned property over on the Eastern Shore, and we decided 2 years ago that we were going to build our retirement house out there. We have an existing home that we're living in, in Odenton. And my question is, because of the slowdown on the building out there, our builder's late. He's like, he's got the foundation in, and he's saying September of next year before the house will be done.
Okay.
Should we consider selling now as opposed to waiting, you know? And
well, we don't.
We're both ex-military, so we can go and live on base.
Yeah, so, Bill, that's a great question. From a crystal ball point of view, I can't tell you what is going to be better time to sell now or next year. But if I were you and you're willing to do a two move, I would put my house up right now while this market's still hot. If it's still hot, I think it still is.
Yep.
And sell your house and move on to base and keep your cash liquid and safe until your new place is finished and move in.
Right.
I mean, why should you take the chance of what's going to happen in 2023? Who knows?
Right. Okay. Well, I was kind of thinking that, but you affirmed it.
You know what, Bill, is most people won't do what you're doing. Most people don't want to make a two-step move. Most people want that house to be finished before they put their house up for sale. And they don't want to have to worry about any interim step. If you're willing to do it, it's always the safest logistical thing to do. All right?
Okay. Yes, sir. Thank you, guys.
All right, buddy. Good question. Great question. Mm-hmm. Mike, you got to go on a pause, right?
Yep. Well, let's remind everybody, it's 410-922-6680. That's 410-922-6680. We've got a caller waiting, but the rest of the lines are open. So make this show about your questions.
Hi, this is Drew Tignanelli of the Financial Consulate, saying a financial advisor must have a tax planning passion. I'm appealing only to those with a net worth of more than $5 million or with taxable income of over $400,000. You are the target for higher and higher taxes. If you're in this elite club, you can no longer afford to have a financial advisor that is not passionate to minimize taxes. I'm appealing to you with income over $400,000 or a net worth greater than $5 million because you are the target and need the Financial Consulate's passion to minimize income taxes and estate taxes. Call to set up your introductory meeting, 410-823-7283 or 410-823-SAVE or online, financialconsulate.com. If your taxable income is $400,000 or more, or your net worth is over $5 million, you are the target. So call to begin your tax plan, 410-823-7283, or online, financialconsulate.com.
Now back to more of Money, Riches, and Wealth on Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
Boy, if that doesn't get you jazzed up, I just want to go on.
Yeah, man.
Man, I'm ready to dance, Mike.
I'm ready to answer questions, Drew.
All right. Well, you go ahead and answer questions. I'll let you do it.
All right. So let's go right to Bill in Perry Hall. Bill, you got a question about AT&T stock.
Yes. Drew, I don't know whether you know what happened with AT&T split their dividend. They split their dividend and they had a spinoff. Do you know what happened there? And is the new company... is their dividend equal to what the old dividend, you know, once they added up with the present AT&T dividend? You know what happened there? I'll have to take your answer off. I'm going to have to hang up and take your answer off the radio because I can hear better
okay.
on the radio.
Yeah. I understood what he was saying. Is he was saying that AT&T's dividend was split or something like that. And, you know, does he know... I don't follow AT&T. Personally, I feel it's a turkey of a company.
A turkey.
That's not a good thing. It's a delicious thing, but it's not necessarily a good thing when you're talking about stocks. They've made more dumb decisions since 1989 than any company could ever possibly make. And that's why they pay such a big dividend. They actually cut their dividend. I don't know what he means by split their dividend.
So this just in from the research desk at Money, Riches, and Wealth.
Go ahead, Mike.
AT&T recently split off Time Warner.
Oh, yeah, that's right. They did split off Time Warner. And there's, you know, and the idiots bought Time Warner a few years ago. And they paid a boatload of money for it. And I, you know, people ask me, what do you think of the merger of AT&T and Time Warner? And I said, you know, you bring two turkeys together and you just got a bigger turkey, you know? And
so what they, when they spun off Time Warner, each shareholder got about 0.24 shares and they got it as a stock dividend. And that's what he was talking about. Now, as far as that dividend being the same as the previous dividend, I don't think we've got quite time for me to quickly put that together.
You know, you know, it's whenever you get these combinations and spinoffs, they do these kind of things, and it's not a great company, but a lot of people like the dividends they pay. It's just a question of how long are those dividends going to be able to be paid. All right, Mike.
All right. So we got a couple callers online. We're going to get to them right now, but I just want to remind everybody, 410-922-680. We got plenty of room left in the show for your question. But with that, let's go to Michael in Bel Air. Michael, you wanted to talk about probate.
Yeah. What happens to a person's share if they die after the probate process began?
So let's say my mother dies and leaves everything to me and my sister, and I survive my mother by whatever time is required in the will, and normally it's 30 days. Some wills are silent on it, and if it's silent on it, I just have to survive her by a few hours, or depending on state law, of course, okay? But let's say that my sister and I are the heirs of the will, and 6 months later, before the probate is finished, I pass away. So my sister is the sole survivor of my mother, from the two of us. Uh-huh. Now you go back to the will and you say, who takes Drew's share if Drew were to pass away before the distribution of the estate were to take place? And that would, well, actually, wait a minute. Let me think about that, Mike.
Yeah.
No, it would go to my estate, wouldn't
yep.
it?
Yeah, yep, as long as you survive by the number of days, it's your estate.
It would go to buy my estate. So now it goes according to my will and then according to what I wished in my will.
Oh, okay.
But Drew, I'm sorry. I said that wrong at first.
Drew, just to make it more interesting, what if you didn't have a will?
If I didn't have a will, then it goes intestate, and the state of Maryland wrote a family tree as to who it would go to for me. So, yes, so the answer to that question is a good point, is it goes to my estate, and then it's distributed according to my will, according to my wishes.
That's what I was thinking.
Yeah, that's exactly what will happen with it, my friend.
All right, thank you.
Thank you.
Goodbye.
All right.
I don't know where I got off on a tangent there, Mike. I was ready to give somebody really bad information.
It's always pressure given live information on the radio with no way to recall it. So, again, we got plenty of lines open, 410-922-6680. But with that, let's go right to our next caller. Kathy, you got a question about Twitter.
Yes, I bought some stock a couple of months ago. Not a lot. And I just wonder what I should do. Should I still hold on to it, or should I get rid of it?
Well, let me get you. Well, you have something you wanted to say, Mikey? Well, or want me to say what I'm going to say first?
Let me give you a couple quick points. Is one, Elon Musk has not purchased Twitter yet,
right?
And you know that going through or falling through could cause all kinds of.
What is Twitter trading for today, Mike?
So the offer that Twitter accepted while
was
I'm looking this up.
$54 a share. Something, 54 and a few pennies.
And I think it's trading for a good bit lower than that. At least it was earlier in the day. Well, it's come up a good bit. It's 48.64. Actually, it's down.
So it is, there is a gap between, the gap shouldn't be that wide. The gap should only be about $2 or $3 if their market was absolutely confident Musk was going to finalize this deal. The stock should be trading more like $52 a share, not $48 a share. So there is speculation in the market that this deal is still not a done deal, okay? But does that mean you should sell the stock? Let me put it this way. If Elon Musk takes over Twitter, that stock finally has the opportunity to really be the great company it could be. In my opinion, this is just my opinion, Dorsey and them ran it into the ground. You know, you take a company like that public, Mike, and, you know, those types of companies are valued by touches. In other words, how many times do people go on and visit their site and so forth? You think about it. When somebody does a Google search, it's just one person doing a Google search. But when somebody tweets, it immediately hits hundreds of thousands or hundreds or thousands or millions of people instantly. And when those people get that tweet, they could retweet it hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of times. And so one tweet is worth unbelievable amount of touches. And yet Twitter was unable to turn that into any kind of profitability. For how many years were they public, Mike? Seven years, I think it was. It's just unbelievable how poorly run Twitter was. And Elon Musk has proven that he can make a company profitable better than anybody I've seen lately. So that's what I have to say about it.
Okay.
All right.
In other words, I wouldn't be selling it if I owned it, unless you couldn't afford to lose what you have invested in it. Let's put it that way. All right?
Okay.
All right.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye.
Well, we've made our way through the callers.
Yeah, well, what else do you have to talk about? You got to let everybody know how to get in touch with us, 410-922-6680. We're on an open show. Now's the time to call in and ask your questions. There's all kinds of topics, you know. We just got through tax season. Mike obviously has something he wants to talk about.
Well, I just, you know, we don't take enough opportunities to talk about more, you know, if you like this show, if this is enjoyable to you to listen to us talk about these topics, something that I wouldn't want you to miss out on is we at Financial Consulate have been upping our game on our newsletter and our Financial Pulse monthly videos. Would definitely encourage everybody to go on our website and put your email address in for that newsletter. It's, you know, not
and
junk.
And we do a lot of webinars on just educational topics and so forth.
Yeah,
you know?
I'm hitting the streets and beating the drum for choose your college education based on how much money you'll make afterwards. So yeah, we got that webinar coming up next month.
I'm going to do one on Medicare soon and understanding the rules of Medicare because it's greatly misunderstood and so forth. But, you know, Mike, this is what I was talking about earlier is when times get tough, that's when you realize that if all your financial advisor is doing for you is investing your money, then you're missing out on all the things you should be getting from your financial advisor, all the tax planning, all the insurance planning, all the estate planning, all the college planning, and all the things that they should be helping you with to maximize your personal finances. Anyway, we're on an open show tonight, Mike, 410-922-6680, 410-922-6680. We're going to be going on a pause soon, so call in now while we're gone. Mike, what do you have to say?
Let's
go.
Right back. We're back with more money, riches, and wealth.
Now back to more of Money, Riches, and Wealth on Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
We're back, Money, Riches, and Wealth, here with Michael P. McCarthy, and we're talking, we're actually answering your questions, because it's an open show, and open shows are designed to, you know, deal with the things that are most important to you, and you get to say, hey, if you answer this question, this could be really helpful to me, and, you know, as I always like to say, there's 5 or 10 or 15 other people out there, when they hear your question, they say, yeah, you know, that's something that I needed to know too. But I'm not the kind of person who's going to call into a radio show and do that. So if you're willing to do that, help a couple other people out who are a little more shy than you and call and ask your question, 410-922-6680, 410-922-6680.
Yep, we got callers on the line, so we'll get right into it. Joe, you wanted to talk about rollovers.
Yes. I pulled money out of a traditional IRA and had a 60-day rollover in it. The accountant did the taxes. He put it in as a distribution. Can I get that money back? I already paid taxes on it. Or do I just get him to file an addendum on it?
Well, you have to file an amended return because he should have denoted that you did a 60-day rollover and that money should not have been taxable. And when he does the amended return, you'll get that money back that was improperly claimed to you.
Okay. Do I have a limited time to do it in?
What year did it happen? This year, 2021?
This year, yes.
Yeah. So you have until April 2025, April 15th, 2025, to amend that return. But I wouldn't wait any longer than next week if the United States government is holding a whole bunch of money that it does not deserve to be held by them.
All right. Thank you very much.
Now, one other thing, buddy, before you leave, okay? This is very important. And that is that since you did a 60-day rollover, you have 12 months from that distribution that you did that 60-day rollover before you can ever do another 60-day rollover. So make sure you know when that distribution was that you did the 60-day rollover on. Let's say it was July 1. You cannot do another rollover until July 1, 2022.
If the rollover was from two different accounts, but...
No, it doesn't matter. It could be from 52 different accounts. Here's the only thing that matters. If they were IRAs, you can't do more than one 60-day rollover every 12 months. You can do 401k to IRA as often as you like. You can do IRA to 401k as often as you like. You cannot do IRA to IRA other than for a 60-day rollover other than once every 12 months. And it can't even be a Roth IRA in 60 days. You know, so if I did a traditional on July 1, 2021, I can't do a Roth 60-day rollover until July 1, 2022, and it doesn't matter how many accounts I have. Only difference would be is if you're married, your spouse could do another 60-day rollover, but you cannot. Okay, that's a very important rule to understand.
Yes, they were taken out of two different accounts at the same time from two different brokers.
And, technically, you would be in violation. One of the 60-day rollovers is in violation of the 60-day rule.
The second one,
okay,
right?
So,
whichever one.
Okay, he put both down as a distribution. So one of them I should get money back on, correct?
Well, I would just tell the accountant that you rolled them over in a 60-day rollover and that he should amend the return. That's all I would say.
Okay. I want to thank you very much.
All right. Good point.
All right. So we'll remind everybody we're still on an open show. We got plenty of room left in the show for your question, 410-922-6680. But I don't want to let Connie in Chestertown wait any longer on her question on Amazon.
Hey, Connie.
Hi. I inherited an Amazon.com Inc. stock. So unfortunately, it's not the $2,700 share king. But what exactly is it?
So you're saying you inherited a stock that is not AMZN. It's a different ticker symbol?
It doesn't even show a ticker sticker on there. It says Amazon.com, Inc. And then it says coupon rate 5.2% matures in 12/3/25.
She owns a bond.
It's a bond?
So, yeah, you have a bond from the actual Amazon Corporation. So they're paying you interest. When's it mature? Does it say on there?
It says 12/03/25.
Okay. So between now and 2025, you're going to get 5% it said there on the face amount of that bond until that day in 2025.
So is that monthly or quarterly?
Normally it's semi-annual.
Semi-annual.
And where is the bond held?
I haven't. Oh, Morgan Stanley.
Okay, Morgan Stanley. So more than likely, if you go look at your Morgan Stanley statements somewhere, wherever you see the first one, you look 6 months later and you're going to see a second one. And that's going to be, you add the two together and that'll be the 5% or whatever of the face amount of those bonds.
Yeah, it makes my head hurt.
But that's the only thing you're ever going to get from that ownership.
Well, and the principal payment at the end.
Well, that's what I mean. You know, you get your money back in 2025, but the only money you're going to make is the interest.
Okay, because it says interest paid semi-annually, June and December.
Now, here's an interesting thing, is that because interest rates have gone down so low, there is a possibility that that bond could be worth more than the face amount. And so one thing you might want to consider is looking at the concept of, should I sell the bond today and take the gain in the appreciation of the bond because my interest rate is higher than what other people are going to get on a similar type of investment, and it would be better to sell it today than hold it to maturity in the future. Now, that's a difficult analysis, and you have to make some subjective decisions as to what would happen between now and 2025, but that's something you should be thinking about.
Yeah, well, you're making my eyes roll around right now. It also says callable $100 on 9/03/25, yield to call 2.79%.
Right. Well, that's another unique thing. What was the interest rate on the bond you said originally?
5.2%.
5.2%. Huh, that's interesting. Anyway, you know, but that's what you own. You own a bond of Amazon.
Okay.
So, all right.
So either keep it or sell it.
Neither keep it or sell it. And if you like the interest is pretty well guaranteed. I can assure you of that. Or you can sell it if you want to take the principal off the table, and they're going to give you more money than that bond is actually worth because of the lower interest rates today than when that probably was bought.
Okay, so I should call Morgan Stanley, and I don't know what.
Well, be careful because the broker may just want you to sell the bond because then they could try to talk you into another investment. So make sure you're making your decision on good objective information and not somebody who wants to make another commission getting you to do something differently.
Okay, and where does this interest go? Because I don't get any checks in the amount that they're showing.
It should just be going into the brokerage account that bond is being held in.
Okay. All right.
Good call, Connie. Thank you.
A little. Okay, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Okay,
sorry we made her head spin there.
All right, well, we're going to try to sneak one more in before the next break. We're going to go to Victor. Victor, you got a question on Twitter?
Yes, I do. I never bought Twitter, but I'm thinking about it now, and I need to ask you, if I heard correctly, if I bought shares, for example, and if this deal goes through, I understand that the company will go private, and I would get $54 per share. Is that correct?
That is correct.
But if it doesn't go through,
right,
it could easily drop down to 33 where it was before Musk made the offer.
You have as much of a chance of losing money as making money.
Okay, it sounds like going up to Atlantic City.
Well, you know, you have to evaluate what's the real probability of Musk pulling this deal off. And you know how Musk is. He's a very determined person.
And what does the SEC think of Musk?
Yeah, and I think the Justice Department's probably going to look into this, too.
Well, you know, Elizabeth Warren believes it's a sacrifice of democracy or something. You know, I mean, come on. Well, these people have got to be, you know... I just don't understand any politician. I don't care if they're Republican or Democrat.
Did you hear that the incandescent light bulb is now banned again?
No, but I can only imagine, you know? I mean, it is as evil as...
I just heard that on another show earlier today.
Those incandescent bulbs are pretty evil, though.
They don't cause radio interference either.
I think they also, they went back to the previous law before Trump removed it. So it's not that there'll be no incandescent lights. The only incandescent lights sold will be the decorative type.
Right. But you know what? The LED light bulbs are so cheap nowadays that there's no sense of even owning an incandescent bulb.
Well, and the heat, too. That's where I get it, heat off.
And the danger of cracking one of those and that shattered glass is just ridiculous. So, you know, I like LED light bulbs, but I don't need the government to tell me to do it. All right. Good call, my friend.
Thanks.
Thank you.
All right, Mikey.
All right.
Well, tell everyone, 410-922-6680. Get online while we're on this pause.
And we've got an open, we got open lines, so you've got nobody in front of you. So go ahead and get a call in and get on here for the next segment of the show. But we'll be back in a little bit with more money, riches, and wealth.
Hi, this is Drew Tignanelli of the Financial Consulate saying a financial advisor must have a tax planning passion. I'm appealing only to those with a net worth of more than $5 million or with taxable income of over $400,000. You are the target for higher and higher taxes. If you're in this elite club, you can no longer afford to have a financial advisor that is not passionate to minimize taxes. I'm appealing to you with income over $400,000 or a net worth greater than $5 million because you are the target and need the Financial Consulate's passion to minimize income taxes and estate taxes. Call to set up your introductory meeting, 410-823-7283 or 410-823-SAVE or online, financialconsulate.com. If your taxable income is $400,000 or more, or your net worth is over $5 million, you are the target. So call to begin your tax plan, 410-823-7283, or online, financialconsulate.com.
To more of Money, Riches, and Wealth on Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
Yeah, Mike, those old Smokey Robinson songs are just really exciting, you know? They're very slow.
Well, but this is to help our reader, our listeners slowly pass on. They've probably gotten home. They're sitting down in their easy chair. Yeah. We're just trying to, like, you know, ease them into the night.
There you go. And we're on an open show, 410-922-6680. 410-922-6680 if you want to call in and ask. Do you have anybody online?
No, there's no one online. You who's listening and thinking, oh, is this the time I call? You're up next.
Yep. So, Mike, one of the things I was going to be doing a seminar on or a webinar is the top five things that free advice that comes from the hall of the retirement community.
The golf course.
From the golf course, comes from family and friends, comes from at the water cooler with work associates.
There is no more water cooler with work associates. We got rid of that a couple of years ago.
We have a water cooler, but we unplugged it because our filter was beeping, you know,
yeah.
Until we get a new filter. Did we get the new filter
in? No, supply chain shortages. It was supposed to come yesterday, but
So it'll be soon, and we'll plug it back in again. So anyway, one of them is the bad advice that goes around about Medicare. You know, I get it so often that people call me up, they're say, I'm turning 65, I've got to sign up for Medicare. And I'm like, well, wait a minute, you're still working, aren't you? And they go, yeah, but I'm going to get penalized if I don't sign up for Medicare. And so forth. And the answer is no, you don't have to sign up for Medicare if you're still working and you got medical insurance. As long as your company has 20 or more people, that's a high there's no likelihood that you have to sign up for Medicare.
Did you know that Hal in Wisconsin actually is a little bit, what's that called when you know what the future
clairvoyant.
Holds?
Clairvoyant.
He's a little clairvoyant. We're going to go to Hal in Wisconsin, who is clairvoyant. He called in asking about Medicare before you even started talking about Medicare. So, Hal, can we help you?
I missed a little bit because I was talking to Chris.
Well, yep. Drew is talking about Medicare when you called in.
Yep.
What's your question?
I caught the end of it. If you're exempt, or what? My wife's got insurance.
Okay.
Okay. If she retires, I have to get it.
Correct. How old are you, sir?
I'm 66 now.
Okay, right. So your wife still is covered, you know, with her employer, and you're covered under her policy, correct?
Correct. But so, if she would quit, I would have to get it. What if I found a different job? Could I get insurance and then go off of it?
That's an interesting question. I don't think so.
Okay. I guess the other thing with that was if they would automatically take you.
But
well, let me tell you something, though. Here's another point of the story I was going to tell about Medicare. Medicare is the absolute best medical coverage you will ever have in your entire lifetime. No, they don't anybody try to challenge me on this, because I'm telling you, Medicare is a great medical insurance policy. I've seen too many clients with Medicare over the years, and for $300-$400 a month, maybe, basically 100% coverage for people who should be paying $15,000-$20,000 a year. And Medicare covers everything, basically 100% other than a few $100 a year. And Medicare D, you know, the prescription coverage might not be the best in the world, but it's still not bad. And so trust me.
So let me get 2 points on there. One, I totally support what Drew said, because of many, many people we know, many of our clients, many people who work in our company, once they're able to get on Medicare, they don't want our insurance. They want Medicare because it's better. But as I always like to do to you, I have a little teeny sliver to say one group of people might have better medical insurance. If you
Who's
work
that?
For a hospital system.
I don't know.
Works for teachers.
No, not teachers, but some of the people that work for like Johns Hopkins or work for Mayo Medical Clinic, I can tell you that right now we are doing some planning for a family member of mine of how to afford an extremely expensive cancer drug once she stops working and they're on Medicare.
Because you hit the nail
the
on the head, Mike, and that's sliver. The prescription benefits under Medicare are not as good sometimes as some of the company plans. So if you have a very expensive drug, you may be right. The company plan could be better. So
I don't know, but that's one thing, you know, you always check for which one you should be in and which coverage. Hopefully you don't have to get it, well, for Part D.
For Medicare Part D, you've got numerous drug plans, and you should, every year in October, you should do a new formulary search to see if you're in the right drug plan. So always keep that in mind, that you sign up for Medicare drug plan and get a username and password, and then every year put your drugs in and say, hey, this year I've got a couple new prescriptions and they're kind of expensive, so tell me if I still got the best plan. And that's something everybody should be doing every October, November.
Okay, that's good. But let's say July you got cancer, then they want to give you the drug. You know, that's just a crapshoot.
But that's probably not your wife's employer unless she's in one of those groups.
Okay.
All right.
Well, I'm just saying when I go to Medicare. Okay, thank you.
All right. Very good. Now we have another caller on the line, and this is somebody who thinks she can add some value to our last caller's question. Darlene, you had some things to share about Medicare?
Yeah, I worked for Blue Cross for 28 years, and I left there and I ended up working for a hospital for the last 18. I turned 75. They decided I was too old and unloaded me. but I carried my Blue Cross policy with me, and when I turned 65, they turned it into a Medicare supplemental policy, which I didn't need because I was still working and under the hospital's insurance. In the meantime, when I was terminated, I signed up for Medicare Part B because I got A at 65, and I tried to get onto a Medicare Advantage policy, and they thought I had other insurance because of that supplemental policy, but it was because Blue Cross was slow to terminate it. So I couldn't get onto onto the Advantage policy until open enrollment, because this all happened last April. So for a few months, most of the time I had insurance all the way up until just before I was finally able to sign back up with open enrollment. But for the gentleman, I believe his wife's group policy, as long as she's still working, would be primary for him.
Well, but she was stopping working, yeah.
If she stops working, then that's different. But if she's still working and she's got a group or husband and wife policy, that would be primary over.
Right, but his main question was, she stops working, he's no longer on the policy, goes to Medicare. A year later, he gets a job that offers medical insurance. Would he be able to cancel Medicare and go on to the new company policy? My answer was,
drop out of it and then go back on it. As a matter of fact, I'm 75. I'm looking for a job right now.
Right. But can you drop out of Medicare and go back on? I don't know. I've never had anybody do that before.
I believe that you can.
Well, you probably can, but I wouldn't want to because Medicare is a better plan.
Well, but then the problem is they get confused about coordination of benefits and who's primary. And while I was still working, I had a woman who called me, and she did that. She had her Medicare, and she went back to work, and nobody wanted to pay her inpatient hospital stay.
Right. We're out of time, though, unfortunately.
Darlene, we appreciate you calling in and giving us your extra thoughts on it, so thank you.
All right. Well, I'll give you guys a call back sometime and go into more detail.
Sounds
all right.
Good. Thank you.
Thank you. All right, Mikey, we're finished.
That's it. All the seconds.
This is Drew Tignanelli saying God bless.